All right, so before we get started with the sermon, I'll go ahead and do announcements. December 19th and 20 and 21st, we have our first VR chat conference. 3 days, it'll be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It'll be 3 days of preaching, 3 days of Q&As, 3 days of fellowship, just talking about the grace of God and our freedom. Also, this is our new world. We're still trying to get it finished, so we're doing group plus like this. What's up, Jeremy? I see you, brother. Good to see you. I'm glad you're here. But yeah, so that's it for announcements. We're going to get started with service today. If you want to turn your Bibles with me to the book of Psalms chapter 38. Sorry, I had to pull up myself. Psalms 38. I'm going to read here one verse. Sorry, I need to stand up for this. Verse 34. For my iniquities are gone over my head as heavy, the burden they have are too heavy for me. You know, when life gets hard, right? When we think everything depends on us, you know, we're always trying to be perfect, trying to act right, trying to keep, you know, rules. And it wears us out. We get burnt out. And many believers feel like they must do more so God will be happy with them. And, you know, and yet they already have his favor. They already have his blessing. And the title of my sermon today is very simple, a simple sermon message. That is, stop striving and start resting. And the theme of this message is very simple, is that God never asked you to carry what Jesus already carried for you. And when we have pressure on us, demands on us, when we start putting burdens on ourselves, it leads to what? Death, the Bible says. Condemnation. A carnal mind is death. And a carnal mind is a mindset on ourself, and our performance, and our improvement. And the Bible says that leads to death, condemnation. But a spiritual mind is life and peace. That's a mindset on the gospel, the mindset of who you are in Christ. The mindset agreeing with what God has said about you is true. And this goes to my point here, is that Jesus finished the work. In John 19:30, Jesus' words was, it's finished. The payment is finished. The approval is finished. Right? All of it, it's finished. The righteousness is finished. The way to God is finished. It's through Christ. And so God doesn't wait on your effort. He's not waiting on your he's not waiting on your effort. He's not waiting on your performance. He's waiting for you to simply just to believe. To rest, knowing that you're loved, knowing that you're accepted, knowing that you're complete, knowing that you lack nothing now. So we get caught up in this world, right? Relationships, friendships, jobs, all this stuff, and our eyes get off of Christ. And when that happens, we start depending on our performance. We start to depend on our self-strength, our willpower, instead of instead of resting on Christ. And leaning on him. The Bible says in Colossians 1 that Christ is in you, the hope of glory. The burden of the Christian life is not on you. It's Christ in you. It's on Christ. God wants you to stop striving. You don't have to earn his love. You don't have to earn his approval. You're already approved. You're already accepted now. Because of what he did on the cross. We lack nothing. As children of God, we are heirs. We've been brought into adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And of course, that was annihilated to us, but when we got saved, we cry, Abba, Father, amen? We're children now, not servants, not slaves, sons and heirs. Jesus, Jesus is our inheritance, our salvation, our justification, our sanctification. He's everything. And again, we are justified by faith. All this is true for us the moment we believe the gospel. So everything's finished. Everything's finished. And there's no demand on you, no burden on you. You're one with God. You're complete, you're forgiven, you're righteous, you're holy. All that stuff is true for you now. All you can do is simply rest in what Christ has accomplished. And real rest comes from knowing that you're secured. See, you don't rest when life gets easier. You should rest when you know you're accepted. Right? God's not waiting for you to fix yourself. God's not holding a scorecard against you. God's not watching to catch you failing. Because of what Jesus has done at the cross, you are accepted, loved, secured, safe, and approved because of what he did. And rest is not a feeling. Yeah, I know we get caught up sometimes in feelings and we base our rest on mystical or inward sensations. So we might think, well, I don't feel rest, so I'm not really resting. But rest is not a feeling. Rest is knowing Jesus has already did everything. Amen? So it's not a feeling. Stop seeking a feeling and believe the truth that Jesus did everything. That's good news. That's good news. Stop striving. Stop performing. Stop fearing. And start resting. You know, sometimes we think we need to earn people's approval. So we act a certain way, sound a certain way. But people's opinions about you change. You don't need men's approval. You already have God's approval. Not because of the thing you've done, but because of what Jesus has done already at the cross. We rest now, knowing what he has done, that it's accomplished, that we're loved, that we're accepted. I was thinking about this. I looked and I was, these people out there, these so-called grace people, and when you really look at their doctrine, when you look at their beliefs, there's no rest in it, and yet they're claiming grace. Grace is all about what Christ has done for us, and that the Christian life is not about what you do for God or you getting work. The Christian life is enjoying your God, enjoying the love, enjoying the gift, the forgiveness, the acceptance, his mercy, his peace, his rest, growing in that. Learning of him, enjoying him, feasting on him. That's the Christian life. But because of religion, when we talk about the Christian life, we think about burdens, self-reformation, self-improvement. Or I must get to work or else this is going to happen. No. That old way of walking is dead. Dead. It's gone. We don't live from that anymore. We live from our approval already. We learn to live from our acceptance. We learn to live from what our God has accomplished. Romans chapter 5, it reads, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And by this, we're standing in his grace, standing in his favor. So every believer, all of us here today, we are standing in the presence of God. We're never distant from him, and he's never distant from us. We're always standing in his favor, in his love, and his acceptance. We always have his favor. It was never based on our performance, what we do or don't do. It was solely based on what he has done for us. And so when we learn to rest, cease from our own works, our own performance, our us trying to climb a ladder, us trying to get to work, we cease from that and learn to know that Jesus accomplished everything and did everything. And there are so many ministries out there, so many churches and people claim grace, but yet they're doing damage to the bride of Christ. The so-called free gracers, I'll say this, let their ministry torn down, their books be burned, their platform silenced, their names blotted out. Their ministry is abomination before God. See, why is that strong language? Because they've done more damage to the conscience of a believer than actually edifying the saints. And to every free grace preacher who says that confession is the way you restore fellowship of God, well, I think it was better that your mother should have cut you out of her own belly and torn you out in pieces before becoming a living abortion that would murder the gospel daily with your first John 1:9 out of context. Well, that's harsh. Yeah, well, you know what? When you have people attacking the gospel, I mean, you seem to get a little fired up. Because the gospel is not half where, well, Jesus died for some of your sins, but now you got to confess and maintain your fellowship. No, that's a false gospel, straight out of hell. And the gospel is not, okay, well, you're saved by faith alone, but now you got to get to work for the Christian life. No, that's a false gospel. Because the gospel is not just salvation. The gospel is everything. It's our food, our drink, our life, our joy, our peace, our rest, our honey, our meat, our milk. The gospel is just how you start the Christian life. It's where you continue it from. So all these so-called grace teachers doing nothing but damage to believers' conscience and claim they're serving God when they're serving their own belly. But start resting. Resting in the love and the acceptance that we have from our God. Start to know that. Enjoy that. There's no demand on you. None. We get this idea that maybe God's expecting something from me. We usually think God's will for us is us to become a missionary in some third world country. No, but God's will for the believer is for you to see that Christ is everything in everything, and that he wants you to see that Christ, he wants Christ to be everything and do everything for you. That's the will of God for the believer. It's to see Christ as everything, your life, your righteousness, your sanctification, your redemption. See, God's plan for creation, redemption, all of it is all centered on Christ. And he wants you to see that Christ is everything in everything. That his will is to bring everything under the sun. He wants you to see that the sun is everything. So you can stop striving. You can stop trying to climb a ladder to earn God's love or earn his favor or earn his blessing when you have all of that now because of what he did at the cross. And, you know, we have Christians who are obsessed with this idea. You know, I think it's funny because we have people who claim to be Christians and yet they're quoting Psalms while ignoring Colossians 2:14. And there's nothing wrong with Psalms, don't get me wrong, but when you start to go to Psalms, and I use the text today, but my issue with people is that when they use the Old Testament walking, and they put that on the believer, when the Bible says the law has been abolished, the law is gone. All of it. We're dead to it. Our source of life doesn't come from the tree of good and evil. It comes from Christ himself. He is now our life. This is what Colossians is all about. Christ in you, the hope of glory. But I'll say this. Let every Old Testament Christian be a curse. So Paul says, you've fallen from grace. You denied the faith. You made the cross of Christ none effect. So stay in your synagogues of Satan and go ahead and die with Moses. Go ahead and perish with Moses. Jesus said, I'm not your accuser. Moses is your accuser, but I'm not accusing you. In John chapter 5. So this is harsh. Why? Because religion has done so much damage to the conscience of people that when you speak anything about God, they reject it. And then you have Christians. When you present the case of the gospel and the proclamation of the gospel and the proclamation of their freedom and their identity and what Christ has done, they laugh at it, they scoff at it, thinking their own works will justify them, thinking their own works will earn them God's favor, earn his blessings. And you know, these Christians are nothing but priests of Baal. They're no Christian at all. And the same thing with the free grace. They're no free graces at all. They're priests of Baal. They have done the greatest whoresome in history, which is to forsake the gospel of grace and go back to the law. They committed the greatest whoresome of all. And they'll trade in the gospel for the wage systems. They'll trade in the gospel for their religious systems. Instead of resting in it and enjoying it and feasting on it. But the point with this sermon is simple, is that you're accepted. You're loved now. Accepted now. Not because you're good, because you're not. Not because you deserve it, we don't. But because of what Jesus has done. Martin Luther once said is that we need to learn to sing Jesus is crucified. Learn to sing that in your soul, in your spirit. That what Jesus has done is enough. And so you're loved because of that. And you're accepted. And you're secured. And nothing you do can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Not your distress or persecution, not what's going on in this life. Nothing can separate you from his love. Nothing. The whole world may be falling apart around you, but nothing will separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus is not this distant, cold figure. He's there with you in your weakness and your numbness and your feelings. He's your high priest who understands you, and he's not judging you. And he's for you, and he's making intercession for you. He's there going through it with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you, Jesus said. That's his promise to you. Romans chapter 4. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Everything's finished. Everything's finished. Life, rest, the way to God, all of it is finished because of what Jesus has done. We got to a point where Christianity has made the cross of Christ of none effect. And sad to say, Christianity is just modern Judaism. With lipstick on it. Claiming to be Jesus followers. Oh, we believe in Jesus, but at the same time, put you back under law and bondage. And call that grace. No. You're free from all that. You're free from the law. You're free from bondage. You're free from religion. You're free to stop dancing and stop performing and stop pretending. You're free to be real. That's what grace does. Grace produces this. Free to be honest with ourselves. Free to be real. Free to stop performing. Stop pretending. Stop striving. We are free from all that. We're free to let go. And we're now free to what? Rest. We're now free to stop striving. We're free to enjoy our God. We're free to enjoy the forgiveness, the love, the grace, the acceptance we have because of what Jesus has done. We're almost done here. And all of it's a free gift. The inheritance, salvation, justification, all of it's a free gift. And it's to those who work not, but simply believe. That's the good news. It's a free gift, no transaction involved, nothing in return. You believe and you receive. That's the good news of the gospel. Oh, sorry, my neck was hurting. But anyway, point one, the pressure to perform breaks us. Point two, Jesus finished the work. And point three, rest comes from knowing you're secured. Our final text would be Matthew chapter 11. Turn there. Matthew 11. When with this. But my point with this sermon is hopefully to see that there's no demand on you, no burden on you. God's not mad at you. He's not disappointed with you, and he's not upset with you. He's not. He finished the work on the cross. And what he did on the cross was out of love. Was out of love. What Jesus did at the cross was out of love. He did it for you. Matthew 11, he says this, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest." Now, ain't that good news for us? That God wants us to rest. Amen. So, God's approval cannot be earned. He's wanting you to work for it. He wants you to have it. He gave it to you freely. You have to climb a ladder to God. Jesus came down the ladder to you, and he says, "Come unto me, all you that labor, I will give you rest." He wants you to rest. Rest in what? Rest in him. Rest knowing that the burden's on him, not on you. The burden's on Jesus, not you. And that's no longer you who lives, but Christ who lives in you. And God has won our performance. He's not saying, "All right, come to church every Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday. Go soul winning every day. Preach the gospel." No, God doesn't want your performance. He wants you to rest in the gospel. He lived a perfect life for you. He pleased the Father for you. He met every requirement for you. He finished the work for you. So you can now breathe. You can rest. Be yourself. You don't have to hide or pretend or perform. And when you realize that God already accepted you and they already have God's approval, you stop fighting for everybody else's. Men's approval is a trap. It is. God has accepted every single one of you. You don't have to earn my approval. All you already have it. Except for Spooky, he does not have my approval. He's a piece of garbage. No, I'm just joking. I love you, brother. But no. Everyone here has my approval. Why? Because I know what the gospel says. I know what Jesus did. He has accepted me, so I accepted you. Based on what, bro, preacher? On your testimony concerning the Son. You believe the gospel, and you're my brother, my sister. So, rest. When you understand grace, what does it produce? It produces freedom. You can breathe. You can rest. You can be yourself. And you can stop fighting for everyone else's approval. You can handle rejection because God will never reject you. You can stop pretending because God knows you fully and still loves you. And you can live, what, boldly? Amen? Because you have nothing left to prove. Nothing left. I don't need to justify myself before you, and you don't need to justify yourself before me. I can stop pretending. I can, stop performing. And usually when I preach, I try my best to get loud and passionate, but sometimes I'm just tired, burnt out. And yet the Lord still provides utterance, amen. But the point is, we're so free. We're free. That we just can't even understand sometimes how free we are. So, the week's almost over, right? Thursday, into the weekend. All of us got stuff, maybe jobs you guys have or things you're doing and all that. But remember this, let this get you through this week, that you're complete. You're loved. You're accepted. God's not rejecting you. God's for you. And he's working all things out for your good in the counsel of his will. Even the negative stuff in your life, that bad relationship, that struggle, whatever it might be, he says this, my grace is sufficient for thee. His grace is enough for that. There's a quote by a brother, and he says this, not stronger, but softer. That's where God wants us to be. Not stronger. When we're strong, we're hard-headed, prideful, right? Let's be honest. But God wants us to be softer. Realizing, I can't do this. I don't know how to do this. Lord, help me. One of my biggest worries, I don't know how to live, in a sense, right? I'm, thinking about my future. I'm in my 20s. I'm worrying about my future, what I want to do. What goals do I have? And I'm freaking out. I don't know how to live. What am I supposed to do? I don't know how to do this. All this stuff is hitting on me. But I'm free to let go of all that. And say, it's in the Lord's hands. He's for me, not against me. And whatever I choose to do, I know he's for it. Never against it. He'll work all things out for my good. But I got to be at a state where I got to stop looking to myself, my strength, my performance, and look to his grace and depend on him. His grace is sufficient for me for weakness. So Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. So Jesus didn't come to make you good. He didn't come to show you how to live a good life. He didn't die to give you a second chance on being a better person. No, he didn't come to make you good. He came to give you rest. He came to make you free. And because of Christ, you can say now, you can say boldly, I'm loved. I'm accepted. I'm approved forever. And the fight's over. It's over. There's no demand on me. None at all. None at all. So stop striving and start resting. We're almost done. We started early, so I'm trying to break this out to 30 minutes here. It's at 28 minutes, so hold on. I'm a freak like that. It has to be 30 minutes. I don't know. All right, anyway, okay. But my point is with the sermon is that you're complete. You're loved. You are accepted. And listen, if anyone who puts a burden on you, mark and avoid them. You're complete now. Any so-called Christian comes up to you and says, oh, you're not forgiven. You're not right with God. X, Y, and Z. Mark and avoid them. Stop wasting your time with religious people. I mean, think about Paul. In his day, when Paul got the revelation of the gospel, the revelation of freedom, the revelation of liberty, the revelation of grace, there was already a church built up claiming Jesus, the first church in Jerusalem, which was, by the way, completely mixed with false teachers and Judaizers, all that. And when he got his gospel, which was the gospel of God, it came directly from Christ himself. And when Paul presented this, he said, I confer not with flesh and blood. When he got the message, he just went straight to preaching it. He didn't go up to Jerusalem and hear what they had to say. He went preaching it right away because he knew he had God's approval. He got it from God himself. But he did not get men's approval. Religion, men who claim Jesus. And Paul, you're telling Jews and Gentiles to apostate from the law of Moses. Paul, you don't care about the purity laws and food laws or idols. And Paul said, what are you talking about? You should know this by now. Paul didn't get man's approval because he already had God's approval. And what church did God preserve? The body of Christ. That was revealed by Paul's message, that Christ is now in you. You're one with him. The Jerusalem church failed. Gone. Ashes. Dirt. Now, of course, their message, sure, is definitely alive, but so is this message. The battle began in Genesis 3 when Satan said to Adam and Eve, you can be like God if you knew right from wrong. See, God's entire plan of redemption was never about your works and performance. And that's what the Jews in Acts got wrong. God's entire plan of redemption was always centered on the Son. Creation, everything, all on the Son. So in the book of Acts, when we see the early church taking a decline, right, when they start to get mixed up with law and legalism, God raised up Paul to keep the message of grace pure. I believe, like I said before, if Peter was the one running things, maybe things would have been different. Because God gave the same revelation to Peter as he did to Paul. Same thing like that. His freedom from the law. And how Gentiles are made clean by faith, not by works. But things didn't work out the way it did. But you know, what happened needed to happen. Right, God worked out for good. Where we have now the Paul's epistles and the message of the grace. All of it. Your freedom, your liberty, all of it. Jesus, I chose in this person the vessel unto me. Chose Paul as a vessel. And yet, to this day, when you present Paul, they always try to pit him against Jesus. Always. And it sucks because these people don't realize is that they're denying Christ because Jesus Christ chose Paul himself. And because they can't read the Gospels correctly, they'll say, oh, well, Jesus taught the law. Yeah, he did. Do you know why? To show men their inability to keep it. To show you're guilty. Now, I'll say this, you know, anytime you quote Romans, listen, if you quote Romans, and then someone replies to you, but Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, mark them as a child of hell, of destruction, because he has one foot in the synagogues of Satan, and the other sliding into the lake, man. I'll tell you that right now, because just think, Jesus chose Paul. And if you miss the Sermon on the Mount wasn't there to show you how to live the Christian life. The Sermon on the Mount was to bring into yourself. To show you that you're not good. You're guilty. And that and the whole point of Jesus' earthly ministry was raising the standard of the law. Showing people that they can keep it. It requires perfection. He even said to the person, if thou be perfect, go sell everything. And that's the requirement. Perfection of the law. And let's be honest. You can't keep it. Romans 3:10. There's none good, no, not one. That's the Old Testament. I mean, read in Ecclesiastes 7, it says this. There's not a just man upon the earth. All our works is filthy rags in the sight of God. So salvation or getting God's presence never, ever will be by your works or by what you do. In the Old Testament, yeah, God dealt with the nation of Israel based on cursings and blessings by the law. But it was showing them that they can't keep the law. They need a Messiah. But now the Messiah came, Jesus, the Son of God, went to the cross. Yeah, he died for our sins and paid our sin debt, but he abolished the law. He abolished the curse system. He abolished all of it. And now we're free to rest, free to enjoy him, enjoy the gift, enjoy his love, enjoy his mercy, enjoy his grace, and live and breathe. Stop performing, stop pretending, enjoy Christ, as Christ himself is now your life. He dwells in you. You're one with him. You're never distant from him. When we feel distant, oh, I feel distant. That's just your feelings, and your feelings change. Remember, Rest is not a feeling. It's knowing what Jesus did. He did it all. And so you feeling distant from God is not true. You're not distant from God. He's one with you. It'd be impossible for you to be distant from him. Oh, I got to get closer to God. That's impossible because you're as close as you can get. You're one with him. So stop performing. Stop striving. Just rest and breathe. Christ did it all. And all to him you do not owe. He doesn't want you, there's not a transaction. He wants you to simply enjoy the gift. Enjoy his love. Enjoy the acceptance. Enjoy it. I mean, when you read the gospel, there's a story. I'm sorry, I'm ranting, but there's a story in the gospels that I love. It was the story where there was a person in the Bible called a woman in the Bible named a sinner, or just call her a sinner. That's what Luke called her. And she was in the house of the Pharisees eating. And the sinner knocked on the door with ointment. And Jesus opened the door, and Judas, that Pharisee, he said, "Go sell that, give it to the poor." Putting a burden on this woman. The law, you know, go sell that. You know, Judas thought he was keeping it. A self-righteous punk. But you know what Jesus said? The poor we have always. Jesus defended that woman. The Bible called a sinner. What I love in the gospel is that we see God's grace. When Jesus dealt with normal people, man, we see his hyper abounding grace. He was a friend of sinners. You know that he ate with them. He drank with them. Never condemned them. They were always comfortable to be themselves around him. When he went to the parties, people drank wine, party, dance. Of course, Jesus had no sin. He was perfect. But they felt comfortable to be around him. My Savior is a friend of sinners, and he loves sinners, and he gave himself for them. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all present that Jesus is a rich Savior, a loving Savior. "Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace," he said to the woman who came and touched his garment. In Matthew 9, the Samaritan was healed by faith. So salvation has always been by faith and alone. Always. It's the person who works not, but believes, who's justified. Rest, stop striving, and enjoy the gift. Enjoy the grace. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we thank you for this sermon. We thank you for the brothers and sisters here, Lord. Thank you for this, allowing us to, you know, just have this gathering, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that we can rest. We can know that you're for us, not against us. You love us and gave yourself for us. We lack nothing. In Jesus' name, amen.